I wanted to spend some time just kind of preparing your hearts now for our prayer time. And I found myself in Philippians chapter 4 in my preparation. And I hope and pray that you have a little ink pen there beside you. You could write some things down that will help you even in your personal time with the Lord as you kind of prepare yourself as you walk through the day and as you prepare yourself for your personal devotions. Philippians is a wonderful book. It's written by the Apostle Paul. You know he was in prison when he wrote this book. You know that the theme of this book is joy. And if you outline the book, you will find that there are four things that steal your joy in most people's lives. And he addresses those from circumstances to people to things. And the last chapter is worry or anxiety will steal your joy. And so when you come to the fourth chapter of this book, Paul's getting ready to wrap up what the Lord has given to him. And verse number one begins with that word, therefore. It's a platform verse. You know that. It takes all that's gone before and sums up the application and gives the application. Therefore, my brethren, verse number one, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul enters chapter number four with the declaration and the encouragement for God's child to stand fast. That word stand fast is the word persevere, to stay strong, to endure. He understands that they're facing Judaizers. He understands they're facing persecutions. He understands they're facing all kinds of things, but he didn't want anything to disrupt their Christian walk or their fellowship with the Lord. He wanted them to learn how to stand those tests of times and to stand in those difficult moments and not to stand in their own ability, but to stand fast in the Lord. It's one thing to endure difficult moments in your own strength. It's quite another to endure them in the strength of the Lord. And one will bring success, the other failure. One will bring joy, the other one will bring misery. The one is sustainable, the other is not sustainable. I find myself addressing sustainability a lot with people. I find myself in counseling, listening to people and listening to the direction they're going, and I'll say something like, that's just not sustainable. It's funny how people try to sustain things that are not sustainable. The only thing you're going to do by sustaining something that's not sustainable is hurt yourself. Let me say that again. Because it went like, boom. The only thing you're going to do by trying to sustain something that's not sustainable is hurt yourself. Now, that's talking solely on a human effort-wise. Of course, we know that our God is all-powerful and our God can do great miracles. Amen? So as God leads you to do something, that's one thing. But laboring in the Lord or standing in the Lord is quite a different than laboring in yourself. So Paul is addressing them and he says, now, brethren, I want you to persevere. I want you to stand fast in the Lord. He said, I don't want anything to disrupt your Christian walk. This is all going to come together in just a moment. Go to verse number two. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche, they that be of the same mind in the Lord. All right, so he's got these two folks here, and they have a little bit of a problem here, and he's wanting unity in their relationship. Verse number three, he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And so the Apostle Paul, he was concerned about labor. He was concerned about serving the Lord. He didn't want anything to disrupt the walk of these believers, whether it would be disagreements that they had, disunity that they had, persecutions that they had, or so on. He wanted to remind them that they were all on the same team. By the way, if you know the Lord, we're all on the same team. Okay. Now, verse number four, the Apostle Paul, having understood and has his mind on this book of life, which really and truthfully is the roster of our team as we're written down there. Verse number four, he says, rejoice in the Lord. What's that word, class? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Even the Apostle Paul understood that really and truthfully, outside of the Lord, there's nothing else that brings unity and rejoicing to a body or to a church, but we can always find unity and rejoicing in the Lord. Verse number 5, let your moderation, that word moderation is your graciousness, your sweet reasonableness, your kindness. Let your graciousness be known unto all men. Now watch this. The Lord is at hand. All right. So the Apostle Paul here is reminding them of the presence of the Lord, that the Lord lives not only in them as believers, but corporately within that church, the Lord resides. The Lord is present in this body. The Lord is moving in this body. And he wanted to remind them of the Lord's presence, that it should help to keep them from fear and anxiety. He's trying to settle them. He's got this little church, and he's in prison. He's facing persecution. They're facing persecution. He's got some people that have different opinions. Boy, that's church work, isn't it? That's a whole nother message. I had a thought there, but I just dismissed it, okay? It wasn't of God, I promise you. And so they have difference of opinion, and he's trying to remind them that they're all on the same team, and they all have the common goal, and that there's joy in the Lord. He says, now understanding that the Lord is among us here, let your graciousness and your sweet reasonableness that the Lord ought to bring to you, let that be known unto all men. Let that be known. By the way, how you're known unto all men is important. If I was to go to your job tomorrow and say, tell me what you think about so-and-so, what would they say about you? It's important. God cares how you're known unto all men. And so he's trying to settle them. He's saying, now listen, the Lord's in control here. And let's be careful. Matter of fact, be careful is the first words of verse number 6. Now, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. These verses are all related. These verses, really and truthfully, teach us two things. And this is going to help us go to the throne of grace tonight. Verses 6 and 7 teach us how to obtain God's peace. Write that down somewhere in your Bible, somewhere on your notes. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 teach us how to obtain God's peace. Now, he's speaking to believers here. He's speaking to those that have already have peace with God. By the way, the only way you get peace with God is through Jesus Christ. You must be saved. Once I have peace with God, then I'm able to have the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 teach you how to obtain peace with God. Verses 8 and 9, they teach you how to keep it. It's one thing to have it. It's one thing to reckon it. It's another thing to keep it. I preached on Sunday night about patience. I preached about how Solomon talked about the importance of a patient spirit over a proud spirit. We looked at the fact that God requires us to exercise patience and the beauty of patience. You could liken that to one of the flavors of the fruit of the Spirit and long-suffering, and how that is so beautiful in the life of a person. Well, in verses 8 and 9 of this chapter, they teach us how to keep peace on our life. Peace that enables us to relate to all men. Peace that enables us to rejoice. Peace that enables us to have unity of mind. Peace that enables us to stand fast in the Lord in the midst of difficult moments. So 6 and 7 teach you how to obtain peace. 7, 8, 9 teach you how to keep it. So let's look and see what verses 6 and 7 teach about keeping the peace. The Bible said, or about obtaining the peace. Be careful. That word careful is the word anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing will rob you of your peace faster than anxiety. You cannot have peace and anxiety at the same time. Pastor, yes you can. They're called drugs. No. You can't have peace and anxiety in your spirit at the same time. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let's go back to verse number 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by, what's that word? Prayer. Prayer. Highlight it. Circle it. Underline it. The reason that we don't obtain peace is because really and truthfully, we lack in our prayer life. Prayer and peace go together. At least that's what God said. Well, Pastor, I pray, but I don't have peace. Then you're praying wrong. You're praying wrong. Pastor, how do you pray wrong? Well, the number one way you pray wrong is you pray without faith. The Bible says if we're going to pray, we need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we get a little bit off base there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Watch verse number 7. And the, say it class, peace of God, which passeth all understanding. If you've ever experienced that, say amen. It's beautiful. Shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I want to read you what's in my study Bible. It blessed me. I just thought as a meditation, I would read it to you. Just listen to what this author writes about these two verses. I think it'll bless you. Be careful for nothing means don't worry about anything. Oh my. Pastor, it can't mean that. I mean, you got to worry about something. No, it means don't worry about anything. The Lord's nearness leads Paul to forbid his readers from worrying. Paul says, why would you worry? The Lord is at hand. Why would you worry? The Lord is in control. Why would you worry? The Lord is. Why would you worry? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The solution to undue anxiety is prayer. In everything, in any matter of life, the way to be free of anxiety is to be prayerful about everything. Wow. While God is eager to hear our request, they are to be accompanied with thanksgiving. It's hard to be anxious and worrisome and also be thankful. If you're anxious and you're worrisome, then thankfulness is hard. Thankfulness really comes out of a heart of peace. He goes on to say, the peace of God is that tranquility of mind, freeing the believer from fear and worry. Peace, which passeth all understanding, means peace divinely bestowed in times of anxiety. You're going to go through times when it's going to be natural to be anxious. I got to say that again so you don't think I'm crazy. You're going to go through times in your life when it's going to be natural to be anxious. And you're going to find your flesh and your human nature naturally anxious and filled with anxiety. Maybe you're presented with a health issue. Maybe you're presented with something that just is beyond your imagination or whatever. There are moments that are intimidating. There are moments where we haven't been before. There's moments that we're going to find that are evil tidings will be given to us. And you're going to feel that natural inclination to be anxious. However, I have not only the human nature I was born with, but I have the nature of Christ that lives in me. If you do, say amen. And you're going to find at the same time the nature of Christ pulling you in a direction to trust the Lord. So peace that passeth all understanding is peace that is divinely bestowed upon your life. Go back, if you would, to verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, say those next three words. Let your requests. Divine bestowment of peace does not come without request. without prayer, without lifting it, without bringing it to the Lord, saying, Lord, this is above me, this is beyond me, this is out of my abilities. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here, but God, I need help. Lord, this thing is shaking me, and I don't want to be shaken in some kind of sinful, disobedient way, but man, God, I'm a little bit nervous about this. Now, I know I can't do anything about it, but I know you can do everything about it. So I need you to fill me with A, your word, B, your spirit, B, C, give me peace about this situation. And you will find as I request and as I pray, divine bestowment of peace. I can't really define peace that passeth all understanding. I just know this. When you have it, you know it. When you have it, you know it. It's a beautiful thing. He goes on to say, peace divinely bestowed in times of anxiety, so wonderful that it exceeds one's ability to understand it. I love that because the peace of God is wonderful. Peace is wonderful. And two, God's peace far surpassing one's own understanding of the problem and his ability to cope with and solve it. So God's peace goes far beyond one's own understanding of the problem and his ability to cope and to solve it, which means this. In vernacular, Lord, I don't see any way out of this, but I know you can do it. You ever prayed something like that? Lord, I'm tired of carrying this. I don't have enough money for it. If you don't pay for it, it don't get done, but it's up to you. Lord, I'm just giving this whole thing to you. I don't understand the scope of it. I don't know how it's going to get fixed, but I know you're going to take care of it. And I have found that as I present that and I fall at the feet of the Lord, peace, peace. You ever met somebody going through a horrible situation and you're carrying some anxiety for them and then you ask them, what are you going to do? And they simply say, I don't know, I just know the Lord has it. Have you ever run into somebody like that? Nod your noggin. In the back of your noggin, you're thinking, you're out of your mind. But the reality is they're not out of their mind. Their mind is guarded by the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is a beautiful, wonderful joy of the believer to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He said that where it guards your heart, it's a military term for sentinel, standing guard duty. And so these are the things. This is how you obtain peace. You obtain peace with prayer. And it is prayer that will bring a peace that will bring us, set us free from fear and anxiety, of fear and of a worry. It positions us where we are protected in our heart, in our mind, by the Lord, by a peace that far surpasses anything that you and I could muster in our lives. That's how you obtain it. How do you keep it? I won't preach it to you, but verses 8 and 9, they talk about how that you're able to keep it. In order to keep God's peace, you must occupy your mind with the right things. And busy yourself with the right activity. 8 and 9, write that down. Occupy your mind with the right things. And busy yourself with right activities. Verse number 8 tells you what to think. Verse number 9 tells you how to engage yourself in the right activities. I have found, and I don't want you to laugh or say amen. I just want you to sit there and look at me. But I have found my mind is my biggest problem. I am constantly doing battle in my mind. If you know what I'm talking about, would you say amen? Amen. Constantly. Not you. Constantly. As I wrestle with it, and as I find moments of victory when I put on the word of God, but then I got to go back. I'm constantly having to bring my mind under the subjection of the authority of the Word of God. And I got to constantly tell my mind what to think about. If I let my mind just think without direction, I'm in trouble. If I let my mind think without direction when it comes to sinfulness, I'm in trouble. If I let it think without direction when it comes to difficulties or problems or trials or tests, if I just let that thing go, it goes to some awful places. So God knew that. So Paul is writing here and he says there, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, and he lists all of these things, and look at the end of verse number 8. If there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. So this is, that word think is actually the word meditate on these things. He's telling us how to occupy our mind. We're to occupy our mind with these things. And then once our mind is occupied, then we also busy ourselves with righteous activity. Pastor, why would you bring all of this tonight? Because I want you to know the peace of the moment that we're about to intrude in. We are about to, as a body of believers, corporately come to the throne of grace, and we've got a lot to lift to the throne tonight, and you're going to have requests in your circle. But as you sit there, and as you listen to people pray, and as you pray yourself, if you're going to do that, I want you to know the peace of that moment. I want you to feel I'm asking God to let us feel that peace of God that guards our heart and our mind. And then I want you to take the experience of praying with other believers and realize that you can take this home personally to your prayer closet. You can take this home personally to your devotion. And that same peace that you feel sitting there as we pray for one another, you can know personally as you spend time with the Lord. And so I'm asking God to do this work of peace in our life. Some direction for our prayer time tonight. I would ask you, when we break up, we'll put the men on this side, we'll put the ladies on this side. I'd ask you to be in a group of no more than five, no more than five, because otherwise it takes too long to pray around that group. And then when others finish, it gets loud and it gets noisy and it gets difficult. I would ask you, when you get into the group, make sure you know everybody's name in the group. And then you can go around and ask if there is a request that is there. There are requests that are mentioned here in the bulletin. If you wanted to pray over those, somebody could just take the salvation. You may not be able to list every name, of course, but pray for those that have been phoned in. There's praises that have been given there. I would have you, if you had an ink pen real quick, add Danny Espinosa's name to the middle. He called in his request before church tonight. Danny's going to have knee surgery. He's going to have to come out of Bolivia there. Is it Bolivia where they are? Bolivia? Yeah, and he's going to have to come to the States and have a surgery. And so he's praying about wisdom on what to do there. And that was the one that was called in. And then, of course, we have our ones that we're continuing to pray for on the right side. Pastor, boy, I just don't pray in public very well. Okay, so let me address that. If you don't want to pray, just say, you know what, I'd rather pass. Nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to stand up and say, Brother Malcolm doesn't want to pray. Come down here and lay hands on him, okay? That's fine. I'll say this, though. This is a wonderful, safe place to begin to learn how to pray. Wonderful. So as you sit in that circle, if you don't want to pray, just listen to the people beside you pray. You will realize it's not very difficult. It's just conversing with the Lord. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I would say this. If you have been saved longer than 1 year, you should be praying. Some of you just went, I just got saved a month ago, thank God. No. If you've been saved longer than a year, come on. Your spiritual growth, when you take a child that's just been born, I think they go to the doctor for a year checkup, right? And they put you on the thing and they measure and so on. We were dealing with a family this week and they have an autistic child. And we asked them, when did you discover that? And they said, well, we discovered that at 1 year of age when the little boy wouldn't look at us. We knew we had a problem. Well, I can liken that to a Christian. If you've been saved longer than a year and you're not able to sit with your brethren and just pray simple, there's a problem. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying there's a problem with your spiritual development. You should be at that level. Pastor, are you trying to guilt me? Absolutely. But I'm trying to help you, okay? It's okay if you want to pass. You can pass this time. But this is our Lord that died for us. We're going to his throne, amen, and take our request. All right, let me pray for us, and then we'll break up. Heavenly Father God, we got work to do now, and I'm so excited, Lord, for these moments. I pray that you would protect us. I pray, God, that we would know your peace during these times. I pray that we would pray in faith, believing. And I pray, God, that we would be encouraged in our own spirit as individuals as we listen to other brothers and sisters pray. I pray, God, for those that may be praying in public for the very first time, that it would just be a wonderful, wonderful step of growth and faith in their life. And Lord, I pray that as we lift our petition, that you would send the answers most quickly according to thy will. And God, we look forward to the eternal work that's about to happen. We love you now. In Jesus' name, amen.